Hello everyone, and welcome to our second podcast of Milan that is truly on fire. And as you would have guessed, today we'll be talking about Milan in Champions League. That's a hot topic, fortunately and unfortunately, for Milan fans. So let's just talk about everything that is going on in the Champions League field and everything about Milan's ambitions. We're gonna walk through the games against Atletico de Madrid and against FC Liverpool with some players' performance. We'll be talking about our first steps of recovery in the Champions League and a bit about the Kessier and Tonali, a few financial aspects. And here today with me is Andre. Andre, good day.
Good day, Alan. Good day, listeners. How are you doing today?
Doing really, really not so well, actually, because it's just game, right?
Well, it was expected, yeah. Yeah, before the start in recording the podcast, me and Alan, we talked about, today night, after the game finished, we chatted with Alan and, well, you said, I don't know how we're going to record the podcast because I'm so pissed off. And me too. Well, you told me a little bit chill out before the recording, and now you're a little bit okay. But for myself, I can say I'm not. I'm still pissed off. Yeah. And we will discuss why.
Yeah. So a main factor in anti-hero of this game, to me, is definitely the only person. It's Çakır, the Turkish referee, who just, in my mind, he actually destroyed the game. I know that I also need to put my emotions aside and just think objectively about his influence. But even that, even after calm down, you know, after having discussions with other Milan fans and just calm down, I rewatched some of the episodes. And I still don't understand why he sent off Kessié. I know that Kessié wasn't having the best performance, but he was having decent performance, and it was just a couple of normal falls in the center of the field, and there was no absolute threat to our field. The game was going for favor of AC Milan, and that wasn't a common sense at all. I couldn't see that someone respectful as a referee and someone with a normal psyche is gonna judge the way Çakır judged. So what do you think about this, Andre?
Well, first of all, I'm gonna ask you, how do you like Milan's play in the first half? Because we can only while you our teams played when we were played 11-on-11, because you know after that the game totally changed and it's understandable. So how did you like Milan's play in the first half?
Well, as already mentioned to you, I think that Milan won this game, and I truly believe that 11 aside, the final score will be 2-0 or 3-1 for AC. They demonstrated really, really good pace of the game with quick, mobile midfielders and really quick sides in terms of likes of Liao and a bit of Salimakers and Rebic. All were really, really focused on the game, and everything was in favor, you know? You know, you feel that as a player, you feel that when you do some things and you actually it's going well, you feel more confident. You then do other things and it still works, then you'll have so much confidence that everything works. You set that kind of attitude, that kind of mood, then you know that you're going to keep going for 90 minutes like that and nothing's going to stop you. Well, if it's not for the Turkish referee, of course.
To be honest with you, I don't know how the game would finish if it would stay 11-on-11, because totally the elimination of Kessié from the game in the 29th minute, and this is a different subject to be discussed, and we will discuss definitely. Yeah, that's changed the game completely. Because, and the follow-up yellow card by Rebic with arguing the referee actually he held him on the shoulder, which is honestly should be a topic to discuss from Maldini and Pioli. Because whatever happens, Rebic shouldn't do that. Okay, referee fucked up. You know, we all knew this. But still, what did he do? He put himself on a yellow card, and Rebic is the guy who could easily pick a second one in the second half, or if the game follows on. And his substitution was reasonable, and just Pioli just took him out from the game to save him, because two players not to play against Porto. This is actually too much. If Kessié is replaceable now, then Rebic is not replaceable any longer. And this is another topic to discuss. I don't know what would happen in the game in the second half if it would continue, and I don't know if we would score the second goal. Everything went on like we could score the second goal because we were attacking, when we were attacking well. We showed really some pace in the first half, but then some other factors would come up, and Milan players in the second half, even playing one man down, they really got tired mentally, surely, because mentally they were just stressed because of the referee decisions, and physically too. So Atletico Madrid, they put some pressure, and they equalized. They actually equalized quite honestly, because they were pressing AC Milan, and they were much more presence in our final third. Then we could aim, we allowed them to do this, and if Cassie would be on the field, I think maybe a little bit less pressure, but I don't think that it would be no pressure from Atletico Madrid at all. So putting some resume on the game, did Milan actually desire to win? Yes. Should Milan win the game, or it should continue by the draw? I think draw would be a nice result for Milan, but Milan really didn't deserve to lose, and that's a point. Yeah, I mean, and this is the referee decision. Okay, let's share this one. I will say about, I will talk about Cassie elimination is a red card, and you will say it about the penalty, because I know we will think not differently. We will think the same thing. About Cassie, well, I would say that Mr. Shakir, well, I don't know what's in your mind if you listen to me, which is unlikely, but if somebody can tell him, Mr. Shakir, 99 referees from the 100 wouldn't give Cassie the second yellow card right away in the 29th minute. I have no doubts about the Cassie's first yellow card. Okay, he too. Whose name? Llorente. Yeah, Marcus Llorente. He stopped him by holding his shirt. This is definitely a yellow card, but this is the first yellow card. And from the first to the second yellow card, I didn't see any reasons for Cassie. The second foul didn't go for the yellow card. This is first of all. It was up to the referee to decide, but some of the referees, really, the good referees, not like this Turkish guy, really would not consider, just would probably give the Cassie the warning, just come up to him and say, look, you're on a yellow card already. If you continue to do the same way, I have no other choice but to eliminate you from the game. And that would be nice, because the foul was not so harsh as that the second yellow card would raise it up. And you see, for you guys, just review the game, review this episode. The referee pulled out the yellow card with such high confidence. He didn't think even twice about this one. He just strictly pulled out the yellow card and showed this one to Cassie, and well, straight after this, a red card. So he was so much confident about his decision that makes me think that maybe he already planned to eliminate somebody. Maybe the plan to destroy Milan by his own calls was already in his mind before start of the game.
Well, we don't really
I mean,
know what's going on in the head of Chuck here, but what we know is that you rightfully mentioned that his decision was driven by emotions. And, you know, you can see that he's just a beast guardian of the law who honors the craft of the law more than the common sense at the end. That's what I feel about him.
The game, well, the decisions by the referee also should come from the flow of the game. And the flow of the game showed us that in the first half, Milan attacked more. Yes, they provided actually the high pressing, and they really pressed high. Well, they tried to do this. This is a tactical aspect of the game, but overall, Milan was controlling the game, and this was about Atletico Madrid to defend. And Atletico Madrid didn't show anything perspective against Milan in those first 30 minutes of the game before Cassie was eliminated. And Milan didn't play rude, not at all. Okay, there were some fouls, some small fouls in the midfield, but this was, those fouls came at the failure to press high the opponent to get back control of the ball as soon as possible. But those fouls didn't were like stopping the opponent, coming to our own final third. This is two different things. One thing, when you make some small fouls to stop the opponent as soon as possible, slow down the game, get him out from our opposition area, from our own half. You have nothing else to do but just to do any possible tricks to stop the opponent. And this is the case, for example, when you are like a game against Liverpool, for example, when the opponent team is playing much, much better than you, and you don't know actually what to do other than fouling. Yeah. But another thing was Milan's play, and was Shaqir, I don't know, he never understands the flow of the game, and the second yellow card for Kessié. Maybe somebody would say that it was truly deserved by Cassie to get it, but it didn't come from the flow of the game. And also the job of the referee not to make a decisions whom to show, whom not to show, but also to control the game, to put the game in a good flow. When
And
one team, if they deserve to control the game, they control it. Another team, they don't deserve to control the game, but they don't deserve it either, And this
another
is really frustrating, yeah.
another obvious thing is that he showed a bias in his decisions. So, all right, if he is showing the second yellow to Kessié in this situation, then perhaps we might think that he's following the law as strict as possible. But then, why in the second half you don't show those yellow cards, yellow bloody cards that you like to show to Llorente, who was committing a foul against Tonali? Why are you not giving it to Suarez, who had a nasty collision with Mignon? And all the situation, he was just warning them, and that's ridiculous. Why do you have two instruments of power? One you can use in one situation, another in another. You actually need to be consistent in your decisions. And I think that Checker wasn't consistent at all, and he was more hiding behind that law of his rather than showing it to the world, which then means that he's not a man of principles, but he's rather an afraid person who is in charge and who wants that power, that control. But those people, that they shouldn't be where they are, and he already had a history of these strange decisions that he's making. Many fans don't like Checker, and there is a reason for it.
Well, there's a massive army. I guess it's a massive army of his haters, all over through Europe, in the world probably. Yeah. Alan, talking about this referee, what is a strange thing? What is the worst thing? There is nothing to do by the clubs. So the clubs who suffer from those decisions, like AC Milan, like some clubs before. I don't remember. I remember that Shaqir is well known by making strange decisions, and he is well known by putting the games up from upside down. in Champions League, in on even on the late stages, he's well known on that. Okay, group stage is more or less excusable, but he did the same thing on the late stages, like semifinals of the Champions League. And he actually he was I guess he was eliminated from refereeing the Euro Cups, the international teams. I think he was removed from there. And this is a subject to discuss with UEFA, but honestly, no club in the world and in Europe has power to even approach with this topic to UEFA. There is nothing the club can do to appeal to this one. And well, it's common practice. The result is not changeable. Okay, whatever the score sheet is done, it's done. Okay, you can't replay the game. It never happened in football because of the referee mistakes, and it will not happen either until some other competitions like Super League will be established. You know, so why, just for instance, as an example, but this is a different topic, why the club like AC Milan, who really suffered from the referee decision, and you put down here 100 football experts, ex-coaches, and ex-referees, ex-players, and you will show them the replay of the penalty situation, and 99 of them said there is no penalty. And there is no penalty. Excuse me, guys, you have VAR now. You have VAR now, who actually is designed to help the referees to prove or change their decision, especially on the penalties. This is exactly what VAR was designed for. Okay, there are some offsides, okay, some on to help the referee to understand yellow card, red card, and so on. But penalty is one of the key elements which VAR is came to help
Yeah, that's
for the
right. You're
referees.
right. I'm getting pissed off again now.
And on the 90 something minutes, when the score is 1-1, there is a doubtful situation, and this is the choice by the referee, his rights actually, to come to the monitor to see the review on the video, and he did not choose any of those. I don't know, he referred to whom? To the VAR referee? But this is excuse me, this is a 90 plus minute. This is a stoppage time of the second half, and the score is 1-1. You have to be, excuse me, a real motherfucker if you don't come to see either you were right or you made a mistake. Because if you were right, okay, no problem. The penalty comes, Suarez scored, and 2-1 deserved victory. Mistake is mistake, flop is a flop by Kalulu. But what if you're going to make a mistake and you are actually presenting one team 2 points and you get one from another team? And now the difference between AC Milan and Atletico Madrid is 4 points, but it just could be one.
Yeah, and that's another weakness of people like Checker, is that when you're in power, if you're a true leader and true referee, it's a good practice to actually take opinions of others if you can, and have a benefit of doubt. But if a referee decides that he knows it best, and he's the only one who can decide and choose and destroy, and that's just a problem, and that's just a shame. But let's stop talking about Checker. Literally, he doesn't worth
All right,
like 10
he's
minutes
done.
of our
He's done.
time. Yeah, let's talk about a bit about players. And so I just wanted to maybe discuss the comparison of players that played a game against Atletico and against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. Why I think it's important is because Champions League for us is a real test. We cannot take games against Spezia and Venezia and discuss, you know, with all the seriousity that this player is worth less than this because he can't do in the crisis situations. No, literally those two games, Atletico and Liverpool, those are the crisis management situations. And when the players succeed in those games, they show real class. And by that, We actually have a voting and the social poll in our forum on the post-Soviet Union area, and there we had chosen as the best performance in the Atletico game were Ismael Benacer, and really, really deserved. Then Sandro Tonali, Brahim Diaz, and Rafael Leao, plus Fikayo Tomori. And then if we go to the game against Liverpool, there we have pretty much the same faces. Mike Maignan, Ante Rebic, but he couldn't show anything against Atletico, as you already told. And then
No,
Fikayo Tomori,
he did.
but just a bit, yeah, wasn't enough, like 30 minutes. Again, Rafael Leao. So we can see from those two games, we can see that Leao, Tomori, Maignan, they are top players. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I agree. It's too early to tell it to name them the top players. Yeah, those games like in Champions League, especially against Liverpool and Atletico Madrid, probably really the proof or change the value of the players. Not an economical factor, a material factor, but their ability to perform on a top level, tops of the tops, performing against different style play because they used to play only in Serie A. And a real opponent, the real strong opponent we faced before was Manchester United in a knockdown stage, of the Europa League last year. And before that was Arsenal. Yeah, those teams were eliminated by. Well, Arsenal was a get to the times, I don't want to talk about this one because those are dark times, And against Manchester United, we really showed some good game. And we really played good. The same we played good actually against Liverpool with some excuses, and against Atletico Madrid. I like Diaz. I really like this kid, honestly. I think that this is the good move. Actually, the good move to extend and the perfect move by management to give the power in his hands, to give him a confidence that he's going to be our number 10. And they give him number 10, which actually, I think, for Diaz, it really matters, And the kid is really playing good. I'm really surprised by Leao in Champions League. How does he play, And I'm really confident about Rebic. I didn't expect a good start from him this season because we all know by the past, Rebic starts to play good somewhere after Christmas.
And
So the first half of the season,
just a
he's
question,
awful.
honestly, on DS number 10, would you say it was premature in the beginning of the season before he started to show his performance? What was your thinking, or you thought it was well deserved?
Well, Alan, it's doubtful, because we all saw that we're in such a important, how to say,
Delicate
crucial
moment.
numbers. Yeah, because like number nine, we all we the Milan fans were saying this is the curse of number nine, the curse of number 11, and the curse of number 10, whoever worn it. Before there was Calhanoglu. Before that, you remember the story about Boateng when he picked number 10 instead of 27.
Keisuke Honda will never forget him. Hello
Keisuke
to all the
Honda.
Japanese
And
listeners.
actually, Keisuke was a good player. I met him. I met him in Bahrain once. He
Oh,
left
wow.
Milan. Yeah, and we talked. Surprisingly, we stayed in one hotel. So I went for my job, I made a visa in Bahrain. I usually do there. And Japanese national team, they played against Bahrain national team as an away game, and they stayed at the same hotel. And I went down by elevator from my floor, and I met a couple of guys, Japanese. I saw the Japanese national team logo on their jerseys, and I said, "Oh, you're a football national football team of Japan." They said, "Yeah," and I said, "Where's Keisuke?" I said, "He's down there in the hall." So I this is a, the I also was going to the hall of the hotel, and I went down and I saw Keisuke, and I came up to him and said, "Keisuke, oh, you don't know me, surely. I'm a Milan fan. You know, let me shake your hand, please, because you, well, I lied a little bit. I said you really did well in Milan. You know, I enjoyed your performance." Yeah, we shake hands and like a couple of phrases and blah blah blah. And they had to go. They actually went to the bus. They went for the train, something like that. And I went. I don't know. Remember where I was going, but when I came back to the hotel, we did not see. And then I had to go. I had to go. Well, I took the plane and I went to my final destination. My
How
visa
is
was
him?
ready. I
What
picked
was
up
he
my
talkative
passport.
to you?
Come back.
What was he talkative? Did he say something?
I mean, just like a couple of minutes, and he said, I'm very pleased to see a Milan fan here, because he already was sacked by Milan. I don't remember when he went. He was out of his contract. Probably he went somewhere. I don't remember. But it happened, and he's a nice guy, you know. I have his autograph, so I took a piece of paper from the reception. I said, "Please, can you sign for me?" I said, "Well, surely." And he put his signature and number 10 below there, you know.
This number
As
10 that you want to forget.
well, yeah. Well, so some of the players even include their number, and the signature. For example, like it was Kobe Bryant doing this one, and LeBron. I saw the signature of LeBron somewhere, and he was also put number 23. LeBron James, and many many players do. Those who really pay attention to the number on their back. I don't know about Messi. He's no longer number 10. Ronaldo is still number. Now, what number he's wearing in
Yeah, he
Manchester
is number
United?
7. That was a huge discussion about him taking that
Still,
number and about the
still.
brand management. But
Okay.
if we're talking about number 7, and 7 is the lucky number for the number of Champions League in Milan, let's come back and let's maybe discuss the first steps of our recovery in Champions League. What do you think should be those first steps?
The recovery in Champions League would be, for my own opinion, is to go to the Champions League year by year. You know, we're not good. We're not good yet to perform on a high level, to go against Liverpool and to show some performances, some good play in Anfield. Against Atletico, really, I told everybody that it's going to be a different game, and unlikely the game was destroyed by one single man. And I'm not going to repeat, we already discussed this one, but we will see how we go against Porto. Well, I'm expecting at least 4 points against those guys, but to say about the recovery, this is a massive job to be done. And first of all, every single thing matters, really, because yesterday I talked with the guys, you know, with my fellows. We watched the game in a pub, and they said, "Okay, well, I don't want to go to Europa League. It's just a waste of time." And I said, "I will argue with you about this one, because every point now in a Europe table really matters for us, because we have to raise up our seed
So that
basket,
we
because
won't start the
we
game.
came, we, yeah, because." Just imagine, for example, this is really matters. We were seeded from the basket number 4, from the last one, and we got the first basket. Was we were a little bit unlucky, because we the guy who was at Ivanovic, they pulled their Atletico Madrid. He's a champions of Spain, you know. And besides that, we could get, for example, Lille. Lille is the champions of France, and he's the surely the weaker team to compare with Atletico Madrid, and we were unlucky about this one. From the second one, he pulled Liverpool, and it was also there are even weaker teams in a third, in a third, in a second, sorry, basket. And then coming to the third basket, we had Zenit St. Petersburg, we had Sevilla, you know, we had many teams that weaker than Porto. I can say that Porto is a strong team, probably the strongest from that basket. And coming back to the first one, we had Lille and we had Villarreal as the winners of the Europa League. Excuse me, they are much weaker The weakest, surely, and I'm not saying about much, but they are weaker than Atletico Madrid. We just were simply unlucky to get as a death group. You know, it's really the death group because all top four teams, all four teams from that group, from our group, from Group B, had a good chances in the beginning to go further, to go to knockout stage. But we have to work enough, you know, so the next Champions League, if we were good, we will be good enough in Serie A to go for the next Champions League. And I have really, really, really good things about this one, good feelings. We should get maximum points as we can to get seed from the third basket, you know. And then probably on the second. The only one way that we can straightly go to the first one is to win in Serie A, winning the Scudetto. Then we automatically go to the first. And you know, as you see, it really matters whom do you get in your group, and this is can increase or decrease your chances. So this is the thing we really have to work on. And
You know, Andre.
second thing is financials, economical stability. We have to really work on this one. Also, performing in Champions League. Getting the bonuses, getting the prize money, you know, and improving any aspect, then for my own thing, recovery in Champions League is our topic, is getting back to the tops of the tops, you know, minimum to the final of Champions League or even winning it. This is our path, you know, path of recovery, because this is our pedigree. We have a pedigree of the winning seven titles in Champions League, and our way to the recovery lays not only to go to the away from the group, to go to knockdown stage, and this would be extra success for us for years. This is our second step, but there
And
are two more.
I agree that our way to the tops is not the way that we had before with Silvio Berlusconi and the way that PSG and Manchester City and Bayern are going now. But it's rather a way that Juventus had before when they started to play in the Champions League in 2010s when they had this weird mix of players. And then because of the really, really smart top management and really good branding decisions, they made it to the tops. Another example of that would be Atalanta. Another example of that would be Barcelona's academy. So there are a lot of really good examples where we can take the best of this and grow naturally and organically to the top fours in Europe. I believe it can happen if we have stability in our top management, which hopefully is going to be the case. But in terms of the games against Porto, two games against Porto, then game against Atletico in Madrid, those are the crucial ones. And I still think that we need to deserve the spot in the Europa League. It's not going to be easy because Porto is a high-class team. And another thing is, in this game against Atletico was in poor form, in poor feet, and Milan was on top. We don't know what's going to happen in 2 to 4 weeks and how we're going to meet Porto. Always, you know, it's AC Milan. You never can expect anything, like don't predict anything. Otherwise, it's just going to be upside down, like here in Australia. And let's hope, let's hope.
Let me ask you. Okay, let me ask you. Just imagine that you're drawing the roadmap of success Milan of the recovery in Champions League. Okay, now we are in some stage. Tell me the second. Tell me the next two stages that AC Milan should go for.
So as you mentioned, the first one is to get as many points as possible and as many dollars as possible from all of these not huge sums, but still sums for us. The second is to get in the Champions League spot. So now we're actually going by plan. We never expected to win against Liverpool and Atletico. The maximum goal would be to go to the Europa League, and it would be great to have that. If that's not gonna happen, let's focus on Serie A and finish in top four. That's the success of this year. How the success of this year is gonna look like. Then later, the next year, it would be nice to definitely either qualify for Europa League or as a plan maximum get to the Europe of Champions League from the second spot, let's say, of the group stage. And that's it. Just like steadily going back. Then from the next year, I would expect Milan to play in the top 16 teams in European spring.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. Absolutely, yeah. All right,
Yeah,
let's go next. What
let's
do we
go.
have in the plan?
So, would be good because of the game with Atletico against Atletico. Would be good to discuss a true value for Kessié. And question to you: is
Oh
he worth those 7 millions per year?
no. Oh no, I would say no, definitely not. Yeah. 7 million, why? Australian dollars? I don't know. What is the rate to US dollar? Or even to
Lower, yeah.
euro? Even Canadians, he's not worth even 7 million Canadian dollars. Canadian fans are, well, I'm sorry. I think, what's now this rate? 125 to 1? I guess it's a permanent to US dollar. Talking about euro, it's going to be to like 1.5. So maybe, yeah, somewhere 7 million Canadian dollars is a really good money for him. He really works on this money, which is like 4 million euros per year. Okay,
But don't
he
you think
doesn't
that
play this
he's
money
just
for sure.
in a poor fit right now, and he's gonna get back to this shape as he had last season, and during last season with Bennacer, he actually demonstrated really good qualities and demonstrated the top level of the game. What have changed? What do you think about that?
Let me ask you a straight question. Do you believe that Cass is 23, 24 years old?
Don't know. Hard really to say. I'd like
What do
to
you
take
feel?
in different position. Really don't know. I'm not that good with ages. I know he's not a lady, but still wouldn't be guessing that.
Well, honestly, I would question that he's 24 and really. Well, it has some background because, well, I just saw the story of Cassie, preparing this for this podcast, and he's one of the players who didn't. Okay, he's African guy. That's first of all, and but the second thing that he didn't come, to Italy in a young age. I mean. He simply let me remind a little bit. Let me Google it once again, if you allow me to do this, and I will tell you that because sorry, I closed the top. Cassie from Cassie. 2015, he signed a contract with Atalanta. So where he has been before, nobody has any idea. Is born 19 December 1996, so he's 24 by now. 22nd of September was his debut for Atalanta in Serie B against Perugia, which Atalanta those days were relegated to Serie B. And you know what? Coming to Wikipedia, I have no idea where he has been before. So for the African players, for the African men and women to come up to Europe with a fake passport is not a big deal, I guess. That is not a big deal to change his age there in Africa and to come up to Italy. I don't know which year he came to Italy because the Wikipedia says that he started with Atalanta 2015, which was 6 years ago in the age of 18. So he came there as a youngster. And nobody knows in which real age he came to Atalanta. And even Atalanta, they know, they will never tell this one because this is a ban and this is a sanction. And the same way for Milan. Why I raised up this one? Because this is can be crucial in the making decision of signing Kessié again or not signing him or letting him go. Because you know that more or less. The normal player, not extraordinary one, and this is a difference. The normal player has his prime. The prime is the age when he performs the best. Those players extraordinary one like Messi, like Ronaldo, like Mbappe. Those players, they really show the extraordinarily high top class level in the age of 18, 19, 20, and coming till even 36, they still can perform great. But those are there from other universe. This is the ultra class players. If talking about the rest, every player has his own prime. And in this prime age, he really shows the best because his mental abilities is already established. His body is already being configured by the trainings. His muscles are in great shape. And this everything in combined helps them to show the best performance throughout their career. So before that, there was a race of the player. And then it is a dawn of the player coming to the retirement. Gassi by the passport is 24. Do we really see his prime now? Well, I don't think so. Well, for my own opinion, his prime is over. I think his real age is coming over 30. He may be 30 now, or maybe even older. So there is no reason to give him 7 million per year if his real age is over 30, and maybe Milan knows this one. Another thing, Milan cannot afford 7 million for the one single player if he doesn't show the level of performance on the field and off the field, same like Ibrahimovic does. Maybe Zlatan doesn't so effective on the field because he suffers from the injuries, but I guess he has some influence in the locker room and really values his 7 million which Milan gave him. And this is a different subject of discussion. But the Cassie, the true Cassie now, this is a maximum 3 million year per for this guy and a 4 or 5 year deal. And I would question this one, maybe a 3 year deal would be good enough, much good enough. And after this, letting him go wherever he wants. 7 million or 8 million as his demand, this is way too much, even for the last year, Cassie, which really should have played well. And this is extremely too much, referring to his present performance in the DCA campaign. That's my thoughts, Alan. What do you think?
Yeah, so besides this seditious thought on his age, which I'd like not to consider because I'm not really too sure, but just his performance and the situation, or the contract situation, I think tells a lot. And I think that Paolo Maldini has all the rights to do the same as already happened with Gianluigi Donnarumma and already happened with Hakan Çalhanoğlu. Frank Kessié was a crucial cementing midfielder in Milan last season, and hard to argue with that. But now with those young players like Tonali and Diaz and others, it doesn't seem that he is a crucial and anchor player now. So we are not dependent that much to pay 7 million of euros to Kessié. I don't think that he worth that sum of money because most of all, an important one is that he's not consistent throughout the years. He was playing decently and really good half of the season last season and decently the whole season. Then the season before, he wasn't really demonstrating his abilities, like just a bit, right? And so the season before, he was playing decently, and the first season, he was shit, really. And same was with Çalhanoğlu. He wasn't really great all these years, otherwise, he would be in Champions League already. And I don't think that he deserves that kind of jump to the 7 millions. I think that the red line there should be, well, 3 to 4 millions tops, and it's still good enough and it's a good progression because Milan has just started to play in Champions League. And another thing, Milan has started to play in Champions League, which means automatically it's actually more attracting to other players who wants to try to play in Champions League for Milan. So there is another factor that before it was hard to get such players like Tomori and Diaz to play for Milan Definitely. Now it's much easier. And that's another reason why we shouldn't be, relying on cashier that much. The problem here comes, of course, with ending of the contract and losing of the potential big sum of money. Let's say, for example, cashier just declined the last offer from Tottenham Hotspur. But I don't know, it's really on Paolo Maldini. I think he knows better. I trust our Capitano, so I think he's doing the best in terms of the club, and he couldn't have done better for Donnarumma, because Donnarumma would have left for free. He could have maybe done something for Hakan Çalhanoğlu, but this thing that he preferred Inter for half a million of euro kind of tells the story. We shouldn't also be crying over him. Yeah, what do you think?
Okay, this we already discussed this one in May, in June. This is not really the good time to continue with those two, with Hakan and Gigi. Let them play where they play now. One of them really showed a good game against Manchester City yesterday. It was really good there. And I just read the press this morning. And another one didn't start against Shakhtar, which is surprisingly for him. He is not starting the games anymore. He's a substitution guy, which actually tells a lot. Because if you sign in the player for 5 million or 4.5 million in Inter, and the position where he plays actually with the key position for Inzaghi, for his system, and a second game in a row you're not starting, that means a lot. That means a lot. Maybe already Inzaghi understood what the real Çalhanoğlu is. Okay. And coming back to Cassie, I honestly don't understand him. Because there is no paper signed yet. I mean, there's only the rumors, and the deal is this far away from to be done with another club. I don't know which club is this one, but he can officially start the negotiation and some documents, some papers to be signed only since January. And now he really has to work his ass to prove that he is worth those money, because it rapidly can change. If he will continue to show this one in January, who knows? The club actually, he has an interest in him signing as a free agent, and he is ready to give this money. Maybe they will change their mind. I said, look, we looked at you in Champions League, and we don't consider anymore worth this money. Okay, excuse me, sorry for wasting your time. Bye bye. We have other interest in other players, because you don't. It doesn't matter where the club is from, English Premier League, or Serie
Or
A.
Moldavian Super League.
No, I mean, yeah. Except some clubs like PSG. If we are talking about 8 million per year, this is for all the clubs. This is the signing for the first 11, or the nearest backup to go for the rotation. And if you don't perform good in such a key games against Liverpool and Atletico Madrid, and we will see further. Cassie has not 4 games; he has 3 games to prove that he is worth something in Champions League. Because the next game he will stay away because he was eliminated, red card. We will see. I don't understand this guy. On his place, I would really work hard. Whatever happens with Milan is one thing. If he's going to leave, he really needs to prove now, because this is the weak link now between his performance and really expectations from his new club.
And let's see. Now I
Yeah.
think there will be a good month of us watching Kessié recovering for this fault, for this unnecessary yellow card that he, I don't think that he deserved, but he got it anyway. So we'll see what would be his reaction. And if we're talking about Milan in the start of the season, I think we both agree that it was a pretty positive start, despite those two really, really sad defeats in Champions League. But would be good to discuss the five takeaways from the start, and let's talk about tops and flops now. That's top and flops time.
Okay, your flop, your tops, my flops. There you go. Go ahead.
Right, let's go. So the first top is, I think the best is that young players matured. I wouldn't have expected it to be that quickly. Over just one summer, we've got Sandro Tonali, who is changed, who now can replace Kessié, and we don't even need Kessié anymore. We've got Diaz, who can replace Çalhanoğlu. We'll talk about the tactics and what kind of functionalities they can replace in the new adaptive style of Pioli, but still, those players, they are great right now. And we've got on the wingers Salimakers and Leao, who played decently the last season. But look at them now. Look at Salimakers now. Salemessikers, his name is now. And Beliao is also doing great, right? His bicicleta and almost this beautiful score against Atletico. Oh, mamma mia, what was that? What about
Yeah,
the
it was
flop?
good. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to go with
So,
all the tops?
this flops.
Yeah.
Did you finish with the top with the tops one? Okay, I will go with flops. I have much more to say. Okay, the first flop for me is Mr. Ibrahimovic and Mr. Giroud. What the hell are you doing in Milan? Honestly, I mean, they do, and I readdress the question to Mr. Maldini. I like what Maldini does, but not in this point. Mr. Maldini, did you really expect that we will perform good in the Champions League with the two strikers of 70 years, over 70 years old, both in combined, and at 22 years old, the guy from nowhere coming from Monaco. Don't you think that we still lacking a striker? The type of rapid striker who can really do well in pressing the opponent, pressing the defenders? If you really did, so I'm sorry, I don't understand you. Because
And Andrea, I would counter-argue. Tell me a
what?
striker you can get for no more than 15 millions of euros that is as good as Rebic.
Well, look, this is a good point. We had those money. Okay, you can bring some youngster. Okay, we talked in last podcast, in the previous podcast. This could be Cutrone. Cutrone went to Empoli. Well, I'm not expecting the guy to score 25 goals, you know. But what really Pioli system needs is the pressing forward. The pressing forward,
Okay, I see your point.
the guy with two hearts, same like Rebic. Rebic has one and a half. Cutrone, he has two hearts, who can run constantly and press, you know, press, pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. Whoever does he besides him is Leao on the left, Salemakers, you know, Tonali, Diaz. This is gonna be the pressing, the high pressing. This is one of the keys of Pioli's game. He already mentioned this one. Our defense starts from the opposition and area pressing, and we're really good, and most of the time we really succeed in this one. And this is how it helps us to score the goals and to win the matches. And it really is. You know, this style is effective. One of the key positions is a pressing forward. Giroud, I don't know why the hell he came to Milan. I don't know. Well, probably he's good against the parking the bus teams, you know, but we will not see any parking the bus team in the Champions League. Not in the group stage. Not even in knockout stage anymore, because they changed the away goal rule. Because now there's every goal really matters. So Liverpool, Atletico Madrid, and Porto—they are not going to park the bus. Okay, we didn't know the draw when we signed Giroud. Surely we didn't know that we will get those opponents. But excuse me, this is the Champions League. You have to understand this one, you know. Giroud, I didn't know what his really role, you know, and his really ability to perform well in the top games against such a teams like Liverpool and Atletico Madrid, and even Porto. We will see further. I have really doubts in his performance, you know, because. If Ibrahimovic From time to time, while I can see some pros in his game, he comes down deep. He can take the ball. He can
Playing
hold the
smart,
ball.
good
He,
pass,
yeah, yes, play
not
smart, big
underthinking.
passes. Yes, exactly. He has some dribbling. He has some technique. He can show this one either in a penalty area, or in a midfield, actually, in the middle of the pitch. Doesn't matter for him. He is good in this one, so he can really direct the attack, playing as an extra midfielder, directing the ball to the good areas, either to the left flank or to the right flank. Okay, this is good about Ibra, but this is not nothing about Giroud. If signing of Mandzukic was more or less explainable last year, so. And signing of Giroud this year is the same way of signing Mandzukic, and Mandzukic was a real flop. It was a flop of a transfer market. The guy didn't play because of the injuries, and the same we see now in Giroud. So we had money. We could spend those money which we spend on, for example, Adli. Well, we spent 8 million euros on Adli, and we spent 2 million euros, for example, on Giroud. For those 10 million euros, we really could find really somebody,
Yeah,
we
that's right, that's
could,
right. Just a pressing forward,
we
not
really
like
could
top
go.
class, but still someone who could just work hard and create chances for others.
Exactly. Now, listen, now the situation in Syria and Europe is not so good, so every team has actually would like to sell, and nobody stopped Milan to repeat the same what they did with Tonali, for example. If they could offer Sassuolo, just for instance, okay, give me this Raspadori for the loan. I will pay you 10 million euro for the loan, and after for 2 years for the same system like Juventus did with Chiesa, and same like they did with Locatelli this year, and same like AC Milan did with Tonali, by the way. And we really see that now we see this is a successful move. And same they could do with another youngster, Raspadori, and that would be a good combination. Rebic could be a backup for Raspadori, and Raspadori could be a backup for Ibrahimovic, or opposite, Ibrahimovic could be a backup for Raspadori. It only matters what the Pioli really needed in the game. So it would give for Pioli the more tactical opportunities and the width, tactical width to play in the front, which we don't see now. Now we use Rebic as our main striker not in the top games. We use it all the time because we have nobody else. We have Pellegrini, which is in inconsistency. He's the key. He's not the guy just came from the another championship. He's I don't know. I cannot repeat how many games he missed due to injuries.
Let's see, let's see. Let's give him a bit of a
And
benefit of doubt.
we have constantly injured Giroud, constantly injured Ibrahimovic, and we have Giroud, which is not in his form, and then I don't know when he will recover his form because he's 35, and this is a problem actually. Another problem is why do we get so many injured players? Why in the beginning of the season they are not in their good physical shape? I understand that the Pioli system of
Yeah,
football
intensity
is.
of Pioli.
Yeah, it's really intensive. Yeah, blah blah blah. But we should do something on this one. Inter last year, no, not last year. 2 years before, when Conte came, one fitness coach came with him from Real Madrid. He was really good, successful, in Real Madrid. And I don't know how Inter and Conte he pulled him from there, or maybe he was the end of the contract by Real
Money,
Madrid. I don't
money,
know what happened.
money.
Yeah, but okay, listen. What do you think the salary for the fitness for the good fitness
No, no,
coach?
no.
How
Yeah, I
much is
agree,
it
I agree.
worth?
It's possible. It's possible. Yeah, it's realistic.
It's
But
possible, definitely.
I'm
If you,
just saying it's one of the motivation that probably led him to Inter.
yeah, surely, yeah, definitely. But okay, what money we are talking about? Because if you're losing the Champions League spot for the injuries, you are losing around 50 million euros in one year. By the injuries, so why couldn't you sign just a good fitness coach or whoever, or just maybe
Yeah,
the medical staff?
injuries
I don't
is
know.
definitely one of the flop. I agree.
It's a flop, and who should be blamed for this one? It's either Pioli. Okay, let's consider maybe Pioli's staff because they have a bad program of training, physical training, or maybe it comes to the medical lab, Milan lab, because we know that they have a good, the big influence on the physical shape of the players that was mentioned before. Maybe this is their failure, but this failure comes year by year. We have the same problem year after year. You know, last season was excusable. Last season, the beginning of last season, you know, was excusable because the season was crazy. The previous season finished, and the players had how many? They had a 3 weeks break. You know, they had 3 weeks vacation, and then Milan's had to start over because we had early stages of Europa League. We went to qualification. We didn't start from the group stage. We went to the qualification, and we played 3 games over there. Three or even four. Bodø/Glimt, Rio Ave, one Scottish team, and I don't know, it was four. Likely they changed the rules and we played 4 games instead of 8. You know, they just made likely, but we had to start early. And this had put influence on the physical shape of the guys, you know. But this season, this half of the squad did not go to the Euro Cup, and this is good. They had a proper rest, and we started late August. Without any early stages, you know, we just went directly to the group stage and went directly to the Serie A, blah 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 blah. We did, the players
Should have
progressed
done
well.
maybe a better job in this.
Yeah.
I also don't know why we have so many injuries.
And they have to really think about this one because, excuse me, the next season will be crazy also. The next season will be World Cup in November. So the traditional season preparation will be changed. So that will be also extraordinary season, unusual, maybe not extraordinary, but unusual one. And they have really to think about this one. This is a flop, you know. This is a real flop. So I named two, but Kessié is number three. You know, we already mentioned this one about the other one.
That's
So
number three.
I would say, Well, I would say the flop number four is a lack of backup for Diaz. Thanks God, you know, thanks God he's played now. And to be honest with you, now the today morning the news came he has some minor injuries with his knee, but this is constantly for him. You know, from time to time he's facing the same problem, and looks like Diaz is out, and I don't know for how many days or even weeks. You know, I really
But
pray that he comes against Atalanta because we have no replacement.
just to say in this flop, that's the actual flop that can actually flip back to be the top, because I like that we have Daniele Maldini to replace Diaz, and I still love that goal, even though it's not rational. But Maldini and Messias, yeah, we'll see if they can do something. I have some hopes.
Where is Messias? Where is, excuse me, lads, excuse me, the medical staff or you know, whoever made his medical check before signing his loan contract, did you see that he's not ready? I mean, what about the fitness test? You know, the fitness tests are really showing that they should show his readiness, you know, his physical condition. If he's not ready for 1 month,
Yeah.
if to step up, even on a substitution. So what about him? What's wrong with this guy, you know?
Let's see, let's see.
What?
L
Yeah, this is also the
let's
flop, you
discuss.
know. The two key positions, central attack and midfielder. We don't have a backup for Diaz. We are really lucky that he really started well, you know. And so far he played how many? Seven games, seven, 8 games without an injury. We're really lucky because of that. And we don't have a backup. We don't have a good striker. Okay, let's say backup for Rebic. I think Rebic now will be reformed as our main striker. We don't have a backup for him. What happens if they get injured? They will lose their form because you know every player has his ups and downs in his physical form. You cannot
Yeah.
perform all the year.
Hopefully we'll continue like that till the end of the December, and then in the winter window we can do some quick modifications. Hopefully. We'll see. And also a few Serie A games will tell us more about Messias and Maldini and how they all play, maybe some insights in the physical and psychological conditions of Kessié and Rebic and Giroud. So let's see.
Yeah, we have nothing else to do, but we'll just see.
And notch about it.
right.
Yeah, but
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that was really, really good discussion, and I feel much, much better after that defeat against Atletico. Just to put away some steam, you know, to vent a bit. Hopefully you guys really like that, and let's discuss that. Let's hope that the Champions League is gonna give us more unbelievable moments. And anyway, I'm really, really proud for the team. I'm proud for our performance. Milan is actually back, and I also wanted to say a big respect and congratulations to the AC Milan fans tifosi that was in San Siro supporting the team throughout 90 minutes. And I do remember those 45 minutes in the second half, they were singing and chanting non-stop. So respect for these guys, and thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I'm clapping too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's give the topics for the next podcast, what we'll discuss about. Do you have any special?
Next one, I think we'll be talking about the Serie A and some players like Sandro Tonali and Tomori and Saelemaekers and Liao. Would be good to talk about this the pros and cons and how they're gonna react on the contract conditions and so on and so on.
Yeah, because sooner or later they will come up with their demands. Sure, definitely. The first one in the list, I guess, is Hernandez, Theo.
True.
No, Theo Hernandez, yeah. Hernandez, actually, Hernandez. Well, I just mentioned from the commenter that he's right to be pronounced Hernandez because he's French. Well, that's just crazy. Same
Anyway.
like I see James, James is a actually, James. It should be James Rodriguez, but okay. The Spanish man, he's James. Okay, James, whatever.
All right. So it was a good discussion, and see you guys. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I really like it, yeah.
Yeah. See you then in a week, and good luck, Forza Milan.
Yeah, listeners, I'm sorry, a little bit get pissed off because we're talking about the flops, of the season. Such things really pissing me off because those small mistakes could be eliminated, I guess. This is nothing to do with this one by my side. Surely this is all about management. So thank you for the listening to our second episode of podcast. We will come up with more interesting. We'll be more prepared. Most likely, we'll do some research, raise up unpopular topics, and we'll convince you. Not convince. We're not going to convince anybody. We will try to do your listens more interesting when you will find something new from the topics you never thought before. It's going to be so interesting, much. Thank you, guys. Forza Milan to all
That's
the
right.
supporters.
Forza Milan, guys.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.